Amen. Thank you so much, our dear brother and sister. Amen. Another great time of camp meeting hour. Amen. I thank God for you being with us and spending a few minutes of your time. I want you to join in with the great choir singing we're going to have here in a few minutes. Got a great church, great choir singing. And they're going to be singing an old favorite, I'm on the Winning Side. My friend, until you know the Lord Jesus Christ, until you've been born again, my friend, you're on the losing side. Amen. But once you know Him, once you've repented of your sins and trusted Him for your soul's salvation, then you become on the winning side. Hallelujah to God for that. Amen. So we're going to have a great song the choir's going to sing. I want you to join in with us and sing along with us if you would. And then after that, then we're going to have a message by a good friend of ours, or one of the greatest preachers that has ever, preach the gospel, our brother Ed Ballou, and he's going to be preaching on some things I want to leave behind. My friend, there's some things. What are you going to leave behind once you leave this walk of life? Amen. I hope it'll be a great testimony that you've been born again. Amen. So I don't want to get to preaching into his message, but I want you to sit back and join in the choir singing, and then call your friends and neighbors and tell them about the old camp meeting hour, and then the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Now the great song, I'm on the Winning Side. Thank you. Amen, my friend. You remember whenever the Lord Jesus placed you on the winning side? How long has it been since you've been able to raise your hands and shout and praise the Lord? Amen. Well, now's a good time for it. Now the man of God's fixed to come around and preach a message. And my friend, I want you to ask you this question, the title of this message. On what do you want to leave behind? It don't matter if you leave big insurance policies and Cadillacs and all these kind of things and house and land and property. But it does matter. What do you leave spiritually behind for your wife, for your children and your great-grandchildren? So sit back and listen to this message on some things that I want to leave behind. May God bless you.
Notice in particular the last part of the verse where it said, and their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. I'm convinced today, dear friend, that whether it be good or bad, as Brother Kanoa pointed out, that our works are following us. They're not done away with. Some time ago, as I was driving through a town, I stopped at a traffic light that was near a bank, and they had one of these signs outside that they take these movable letters and move them around and spell out a message for the general public. This particular day, the sign read, "Have you made out your will yet?" That was all that was on it. Just, "Have you made out your will yet?" And I thought as I drove away about the sign, and all day long it stayed in my mind, "Have you made out your will yet?" And late that evening when I had retired, the sign came again to my mind. As the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart, "Have you made out your will yet?" And the message that I want to preach to you today is by this text, things that I want to leave behind. I want to leave some things behind. And dear friend, I feel today that every one of us are leaving some things behind. Everyone that's here today will certainly leave some things behind. Now, granted, I'm looking for Jesus, as Brother Billy has so wonderfully preached. I've been accused of not looking for the Lord. Someone said the other day, Brother Blue has quit looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I inquired what did he base that upon. Why, he said, "You're booking meetings in the 1976. Said, "What if the Lord comes? What are you going to do with those meetings?" I said, "I'll give them to you." "I'll just leave them to you and you can have them." And of course, he didn't seem to be too impressed and went away without a reply. But friend, I believe that we're going to leave something behind in this world. First of all, I want to leave a good testimony behind. Someone said, "Why, preacher, you should hear the one that I give on Wednesday night. Oh, it's so eloquent. It's so polished and it's so great. You ought to hear it. I'm not interested in the one you give on Wednesday night. I'd rather be impressed by the one you live on Monday." And I fear today that folks are not going to remember us by the Wednesday night testimony, but by that testimony that they saw us walk. And they saw us talk every day before this fallen race of Adam. I want to leave a good testimony, first of all, in my community where I live. I want my neighbors to know, not just that there's a Baptist lives there, but I want them to know that one of God's men lives there. I want them to know there's a preacher that lives there, not just any old preacher or the run-of-the-mill, but one that loves the Word of God and stands for it in this perverted age. And I want them to know that God's man lives there. I'd hate to live in a neighborhood where folks would say, "Well, I see him with a Bible in their arm. That's about all I know about him. I want them to hear old songs coming out from my house. How firm a foundation. Yes, saints of the Lord. I want them to hear Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I don't want them to hear the beatbox of this world, but I want them to know that God's man lives there." We'll leave a testimony behind. When I moved where I lived, the day we were unpacking, a lady came up across our yard, and I had an armload of boxes heading for the carport, and she had a cigarette between her fingers and a pair of shorts on. I threw them boxes down and run to meet her. I said, "Hey, are you saved?" She liked to faint it. But I want them to know one of God's men lives there. If you're known just as a Baptist, and I'm glad I'm a Baptist, somebody asked if I wasn't a Baptist what I'd be, and I said I'd be ashamed of it. But I want them to know, brother, that there's more than just a Baptist. I want them to know that God's man lives there. And that ought to be your testimony in your community, that one of God's lives there. Not just anybody, not just one of the Joneses, so to speak. There ought to be a testimony when your neighborhood needs somebody to pray that they'll look you up. There's folks today right now that don't even know what you stand for. They don't even know what you are. They don't even know what your convictions are. I believe today we'll leave a testimony like that behind. When you're gone, they'll say, "Well, oh, just old so-and-so live there." When they hang that wreath on my door, I want them to know, glory to God, that there was one of God's men live there. One of the people of God. One that had been saved by grace. One that had been washed in the blood. One that had been called a priest. I want them to know that. There are some of you right now that hadn't left a mark. You haven't even made a mark in your own neighborhood. I heard Dr. Bob Gray say something one time that I'm sure it may not even been original with him, but it impressed me. He said a lot of folks think that taking a boat ride to Africa will make a missionary out of them. But it'll take more than a boat ride to Africa. Now, I guarantee you, my friend, it'll take more than just announcing to your community that you're a Baptist. It'll take an everyday life, lived, walked, and talked. It'll take, my friend, an honest report among that community. I went to visit a man in a field that I was pastoring one time. I'd just moved in, and I went to visit him. I got there that day, and I said, "Bill, I want to invite you to church. I want to invite you to the house of God." He said, "Preacher, I appreciate that. But," he said, "would you come into my office just a minute?" And I went in. I'm sure all of you saw it one time or other, these little wooden cheese boxes that they used to ship cheese in. And he took me into his little office, and there sat three of those boxes along in a row. Two of those boxes were filled with these little charge account books that they take and write the name of the creditor up on the top, and they were stuck down in that box. Two of them were full. One of the boxes only had three books in it. He said, "Preacher, I appreciate your interest in me, but I might as well tell you I'm not coming. I'm not coming." And I said, "Bill, would you mind telling me why?" And he picked up one of those boxes and handed it to me. And I looked at the names along the top of them. And he said, "Preacher, do you recognize any of those names?" And, "Oh," I said, "yeah. Here's one of my deacons. And, oh, there, yeah, there's some of my Sunday school teachers." And he looked, took me by the arm, and he said, "Preacher, you know what that box says right there?" And I said, "No." He said, "Those two boxes are filled with the charge account books of people that won't pay me their bills. They've carried my groceries off. They've burnt my gas. They won't even pass by me now and speak to me." He said, "Preacher, that's your church members." He said, "I'll tell you, I'm not coming. You ought to have been there and heard my message next Sunday morning." I want to tell you, friend of mine, tonight, today, there's some of you sitting right here that may have an old gas bill down yonder somewhere. Get your head up. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. You look at me while I'm preaching to you. There may be an old grocery bill you've left down yonder somewhere, and you say you forgot it. Why don't you quit lying? You're saved by the grace of God. You haven't forgot it. He won't let you forget it. That's the reason today that we wonder why the lost world won't come. I'll tell you why. It's because of bad testimonies. It's because folks have said one thing in the confines of the walls of the church and lived something else out there. It's because, friend of mine, that they'll shout and jump benches in here and cuss some telltales out there. Friend, hear me. I want to leave a good testimony behind. I want it to be good. I want it to say, "Oh, Ed paid his bills." Hallelujah. There's a bunch of preachers running across this country. If you don't believe it, you preachers go into a bank and try to borrow money. They'll tell you in a moment that the biggest bunch of debt beaters in the country is a bunch of sorry preachers. I don't want that to be left behind. I went here a while back to buy some lumber at a place. A man that I hadn't saw since I was a boy. And I said, I want to buy some lumber. He said, what's your name? And I said, Ed Blue. He said, which one of the Blues are you? And I said, I'm Andrew Blue's boy. Now, my daddy, I guess, was maybe as one of the as poor a man as you'd meet. When I said, I'm Andrew Blue's boy, he said, you can have all the lumber you want. You can just get what you want. You can buy it. Now, my daddy never drove a new car as far as his in his life. He only had one new suit just before he died. But hallelujah. That man was saying, Ed, he left a good testimony here. He left a good testimony here. Folks, you listen to me right now. You may die a pauper as far as money is concerned, and you may not be in the social rest of the Blue Book or done in Bad Street. But I'll tell you, if you've lived for God and walked right, you can leave a good testimony behind. You can come to this camp meeting and shout and jump benches and foam at the mouth and just sling nasal drip all day long. But I guarantee you right now, you're not impressing a world by that. And you don't impress me by that. I told you about that head one time. You get that knot up. A good testimony is important. It's vital to our Christian life. It's not just something that we get up and say a bunch of flowery words, but it's walking out that door, a gun barrel straight for God. I want to leave one in my community. Then that's not all. If I was a schoolboy or a schoolgirl, I'd want to leave a good one down at the schoolhouse. You say, what do you mean? Let me ask you something. School's out now. There's no school sessions on. But let's say you pass away and leave this world before you return to school. When they pass by your desk there where you sat, I wonder how they'll remember you. Will they remember you as that boy or girl that were just like they was? Will they remember you as that boy or girl that done what they did? Will they remember that boy or girl that always hung that ear over the edge of the crowd to hear that one little tidbit of filth? Well, they walk by that desk and linger. Said they is different from us. They didn't do like we done. You listen to me, boys and girls. You hear me right now. You're going to win that bunch to God down there at that schoolhouse. You're going to definitely have to be different than they are. I remember a little old girl that they used to laugh at, and her daddy sent for me to come before he died and said, Brother Ed, will you go visit my family when I'm gone home? And said, I'll soon be gone. Will you go visit? I said, I'll do it. And he said, now, Brother Ed instruct them and help them. Had one little girl, a little blonde-headed type, just started to school. And when she started to school, one day the teacher cranked up a little record player. Said, now, come on, children, let's have our little folk dance. That little old tyke said, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. Oh, she said, there's nothing wrong with it. There's just nothing wrong. Go on. Now, honey, said, I can't do it. Said, well, why can't you do it? Said, Daddy's gone to heaven, but Daddy told me it's wrong.
Amen.
Well, said, darling, you won't make a passing grade. She said, just mark me down failure then. You know, God still got some folks that won't bend. God still got some folks that won't give in. Oh, I know sometimes the devil screams in our ear and said, them that's against us is far more than them that are for us. But God needs to open our eyes where we can see he's got a crowd that's never bowed a knee to Baal. Hallelujah. Anyhow. One day she grew up, you know, they said, listen now. Take this list home to Mom and tell her to get you these things. She looked at it and said, gym shorts, and she handed it back and said, I can't do that.
Said, I can't do that. I just can't dress like that. She said, well, everybody's doing it. Said, I can't help it. Said, my body's reserved for my husband. I'm not going to undress it for this filthy, mindlustful world to look on. It's not going to be looked at like that. They said, you'll get a failing grade then. Said, just go ahead and mark me down that then. But one day after one of the recesses or something like that, some of the teachers come running out of the school rooms and said, boy, a bunch of my students are gone. And down the hall, the school teachers come out and said, some of mine. Another said, some of mine. And the old janitor come up out of the basement, coal dust in his eyes, rubbing tears. He said, you want me to show you where they're at? Down the steps into the basement they went, and a bunch of those boys and girls had got under conviction, and they'd went to that little girl that laughed at and mocked and ridiculed, and she had them down to the coal bin on their knees with their arms around them, telling them how to get born again, telling them how to get saved, telling them how to get washed in the blood. Amen? You'll never win by giving in. Hallelujah, anyhow. Drunk as a dog. One day the principal called her in. She said, Uncle Ed like to scared me to death. And the principal said, come in, honey, and close the door. And she said, yes, sir. She said, what can I do for you? He said, would you tell me how to get saved? That's one real, living, not bending, not bowing testimony that took their stand for God and said, here I am. One. You ought to have a good testimony there in school. Then not only that, if you work on a job, you ought to have a good testimony down there. I wonder if you were to die while you were here, never get back to that machine or that assembly line, would there be an old, worn-out, greasy testament laying there somewhere where you had read from the Word of God? Will they remember that day you bowed your head over that bologna sandwich and said, I thank you, God, for this? Will they remember when you moved yourself apart from that filthy, dirty, stinking language, will they? Or will they remember you as, well, you're just one of us? Just one of us. No, friend, you better have a good testimony down there. You better have a good testimony down there. When I was working on the public job, I remember one time I went to seek out a job at the employment of driving a semi, which was my occupation. I walked up between two trailers at the dock and looked up, and there's a woman standing there. And I said, hey, who's the boss around here? She brought out an oath about that long. Said, I am. And I said, I'm looking for a job. I'm looking for a job. And she said, can you drive? I said, yes. I said, you got any work? She said, yes. She said, now, do you want to go to work? I said, yes, before I do, I want to tell you one thing. Back then, I was just preaching whenever I could. Just God had called me. I said, I'm a preacher. She said, there ain't no such thing. And I said, what? She said, a truck driver and a preacher. And I said, you just cast your God-given eyeballs down this way. I'm one. And she said, I'm going to hire you and see if you are. So one time I got hired for being a preacher. And I worked there, and I don't want to heap no glory on me or pray. It's a personal honor to me. I don't, just to him. And I worked there for a long time. Just before I quit, they was having some kind of a dinner, I believe a Christmas dinner, and she had footed the bill. And I remember before that, one day an old boy cursed in front of me, and she grabbed up a piece of a 2x4 and said, don't you cuss in front of that preacher. Said, if there's any cussing done around here, I'll do it. At the dinner that night, them old rough truck drivers come running in, piles of chicken left. One of them reached over to get a chicken leg. She said, you lay that down, boy. Said, we ain't had the preacher? Yes, you can have a testimony. I don't care how much of a bunch of hell raisers you've got around there. You can have a testimony. Amen. Not only should you have a testimony where you work, but I'll tell you what I want to have. I want to have a testimony in my own household. In my own household. Where I live. Oh, listen. It's one thing what Brother Allen thinks about me. Oh, yes. I appreciate those good words you said about me. Love the Lord, I appreciate the kind things you said about me. Now, that's one thing. But I've got a little 14-year-old girl. Brother, what she thinks about me, Edward. What you fellas think about me is one thing. But what she thinks about me is what I'm interested in. Brother James, I have tremendous admiration for you. One of the greatest preachers I've ever met. You're one among the greatest. But listen, she'd look you in the eyeball right now and tell you, my daddy's a better preacher than you are. And somebody said, what does that mean to you? Flattery? No! It's glory to God because I've tried to walk for God in front of her. Hallelujah! My daddy died last November. My daddy, as I've already stated, his financial report was at the lowest point. Nothing. I remember my daddy as a boy. I'd look up at that great big tall fella. That black-haired shoulders way out here. That ruddy complexion. I'd look up at him and, man, he was a man. My, listen, when he's lost, he'd fight you at the drop of a hat and drop the hat himself. I mean, listen, he'd look you up, boy. I remember one time some boy cussed in front of my mama. Daddy never said a thing, but he just walked over to where he was. Slid his fingers down on that Jaybird's collar. He said, you won't apologize before you pick up your teeth or after. He'd wait on you, boy. He'd take care of you. But a while back, my daddy became very ill. It was determined that cancer was eating away at the vital organs of his body. One day, though, he called me from home and said, Ed, I feel pretty good today. If you'll come down and get me, I'll go home with you. So I got the air conditioner just right on the car and drove down. Got everything just right. And I led him out to the old car and set him down in it. Started up the road and in the general vicinity of where I live, just when Daddy, just after he got saved, started up the road and I said, Daddy, would you like to go back by where we used to live? And I'm not a spring chicken no more. Soon to 49. He always called me boy. Said, yeah, boy, I'd like that. I'd like that. So I detoured off of the paved road and headed back out through the country. Drove up in front of a little house with no paint on it and I stopped. Looked around at the old fella. His chin was a-quivering. And I started to point out the woods behind the house. He got my arm and said, I remember, boy. I remember. And I remembered as a kid, after he got saved, an old rough fighter. I saw him soak his hands in a pan of salty water to bring the swelling down. I saw his hands gashed with men's teeth. He'd fight you while he was laying on the ground. That old rough hand reached up and pulled my arm down and said, I remember. After he got saved, I'd see him every evening heading out through the woods. He'd done that so often that a trail had been worn. And one day, my daddy was one of those men that little old boys didn't just run up and start mouthing off to. You waited till he gave you permission. I got so curious, one day I braved the possibility of getting whopped in the mouth. And I said, Daddy, can I go with you? He said, yeah, boy. And that big old ex-bootlegger reached that finger down. And I took him by that old big rough hand. Down through the woods we went and come out to a clearing and down across a meadow. And we proceeded farther down the edge of a cornfield and walked across a creek on some rocks and back into the woods again. The trail was still very plain. And we walked up to a little old sweet gum bush about that big around. And he turned loose, let me turn loose of his finger, and he looked at me and he said, "Boy, I ain't learned to pray real good yet. I don't know how to pray no big words, but this is where I've been coming to pray." And said, "Now, boy, if you'll get down on your knees like this, we'll have prayer." I went back by there the other day, and the trails growed up. But down there in the woods, there's a sweet gum bush that he left me that nobody can take away from me. There's a day where a boy prayed with his daddy. Listen, daddy, if you're not praying with your boy, you're robbing him of his heritage. What kind of a legacy are you leaving that son? Oh, you said, "I've bought him a car. You said, I've bought him a motorbike. I've got him a rifle. I never did get any of those things. But I remember as well as it was yesterday, that sweet hour of prayer. He is gone now. But hallelujah, he left me something that I can throw my shoulders back, praise the Lord, and said I had a praying daddy. I had a daddy that prayed with me." Listen to me right now. If your kids have never found you on your knees in prayer, you better get down there. I came in from this in one day. My baby was just a baby then, playing out in the sand in the yard, taking a little shovel and putting it over in a bucket and pouring it out. I drove up in the yard and opened the door. I heard my wife on the inside going, "Oh!" You say shouting at home? Honey, if it won't shout at home, it's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit! My little girl dipping that sand up and pouring it out. Dipping it up and pouring it out. My wife said, I said, "Dina, what's Mama doing?" I said, "She's a shouting. Amen." Oh, you said it'd scare my young'uns. They wouldn't know what was happening. Not if they're used to it, Walter. I guess we had the first acoustical ceiling in our house. There wasn't many of them back in our day, but we had one of the first. One of them acoustical ceilings, you know, them little knobby textures. We had the first ones. Mama'd be in there in the house. "Don't you raise your sanitary eyeballs at me, boy." She'd be in there making up them big old cathead biscuits with her hands, you know, and singing, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord." Woo! Dough all over the ceiling, amen. Hear me today. You can leave a testimony behind. You can. Some of you, they've never saw you on your knees before God. They've never saw you down praying. They've never heard you communicating with heaven. But, oh, hallelujah, I'm glad when I leave here, I may not leave much, but glory to God, I can leave a prayer testimony. Amen. I want a testimony at my house. It's not what you think about me. It's what my family knows about me. I got he's my grandson. I got two grandsons. One of them's a pretty good-sized boy now. Used to when I was out on the road. Boy, he thinks his papa is all there is. You can tell right there he's got good taste. Used to when I'd be on the road, why, he'd call his mama and say, "Mama, when'll Papa be home?" Well, she said, "He'll be here later on, sport." He said, "How long's later on?" He said, "He'll be here after a while." He said, "How long's after a while?" "Well, sport, don't bother me. He'll be here." He'd call back in about 5 minutes and said, "Papa, are you yet, Mama?" "Sport, don't bother me. He'll be here." He'd call back in about 5 minutes and said, "Papa, are you yet, Mama?" "No, sport, I told you he wouldn't be here until after a while." "Well, after a while, it's done gone. Mama, I want to see Papa." One day, my wife had been to the airport to get me, and two things happened that day as I got home. I was tired and give out. Drove up on the carport, and my daughter took a piece of white paper about that wide and stretched it across the end of the carport with red crayon. Said, "Welcome home, Daddy." Now, I might not mean much to you, boy, but I mean that turned me on. Ah, yeah, Tudor. That turned me on. Yeah! I got in the house and the phone rang. You guessed it, old sport. Said, "Mama, is Papa there yet?" Brother Billy, she said, "Yes, sport, I just got here with him." See, he said, "You come and get me. You come and get me. I got to see Papa. I mean, I just got to see him right now." Boy, she got in that car and took off to get him. Watch old Milford Biddlegreen. He's thinking about them grandyoungins right now. She run to get him, you know, and sports one of them youngins. He can stand flat up on the floor and fall down. Comes this poor little boy I've ever saw in my life. He can't hardly stand up. When the door opened, I heard him start falling in the house. He fell all the way from the car into the house. He stumbled and fell. I mean, all the way. He come in that door. He fell in the door, both arms out, saying, "Papa, Papa, Papa." And he got me around the neck, and he wouldn't let go. And he's a-kissing me. Now, that may be slobbers to you, some of you folks, but that's sugar to a Papa. I mean, that's sugar, boy. Amen, Brother Kenosha? I mean, that's sugar. He's a-hugging my neck, and everybody else got out of the room, and old sport eased up to me and said, "Papa, can I sit in your lap?" I said, "Help yourself, boy. Just there it is. Just take over." He called up my lap, and he said, "Can I snuggle a little?" Well, every grandpa knows what snuggling them grandyoungins is. I mean, you grandpas know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Ain't that good? I said, "Just snuggle, boy." He eased right up under my chin, you know. He laid there a minute and he said, "Papa." He said, "You know what I want to be when I grow up?" "No," I said, "I know. You want to be a policeman." "Papa, I don't want to be no policeman." "Said, you want to be a fireman, right? I don't want them big fire trucks." "No, sir, I don't want to be no fireman." "You want to fly an airplane?" And he stopped. I said, "No, Papa." He stopped me, turned my face around. Big old tears coming down that little old cheek. He said, "I want to be a preacher just like you, Papa. I want to be one like you, Papa." Somebody said, "What'd that mean to you?" Brother, you hear me right now. I'd rather be dead from that little boy to change his mind about that. I want to leave a testimony, hallelujah, that he can walk up to my casket and say, "Praise God, my papa wasn't a compromiser. He wasn't a pussyfooter and an air tickler and a backpatter and a compromiser and a Casper milk toast and a corner cutter and a pink lemonade society shipper. He was a real preacher that loved God, hallelujah. Hallelujah anyhow, amen. I'm not going to. Amen. Glory to God anyhow. I'd hate for him to remember me as one of those fellows that sound like the hog cotton in the mouth. We are so glad to have you here today. If you're hearing like that, come on up here and let me box your jaws. You need a knot on your head, boy. So big, we'd have to climb a ladder to scratch it. Yeah, hallelujah. I want to be remembered as God's man that his grandson wanted to be like. Hallelujah. Ah, you said ain't important about that little old grandson. Why, who knows him? I'll tell you what, he got saved and I baptized him. God knows him. It's 11 o'clock. Might as well tell you, it'll be that when I get through, too. Hallelujah. I'm not going. Does them fellas think I'm going to quit?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't mind telling you, brethren, I've had it up to here with this crowd-pleasing bunch of preachers. I've had it up to here. I'm sick of it. I tell you what, I like for a man to get up and hand me out them big heavenly steaks, about that thick, sprinkled with some heavenly Worcestershire sauce. We've got too many preachers that the only thing they dish out is snap, crackle, and pop. And that fizzles out before too long. Amen. I'd rather be choked on peanut butter and 40 miles from water than to be around that crowd. Amen. I want to be identified with that bunch that's got spiritual muscle. Of God, I want to leave that behind. And not only do I want to leave a good testimony behind, but I want to leave. Up at my house, we was moving the other day, my little old brother Bobby, that's a preacher, was up there helping me. And I took him in my study, and I showed him all my books, and I said, boy, there's old W.B. Riley's library. You can have that when I'm gone. And there's old Spurgeon's. You can have that when I'm gone. There's old chapel and all. I named over those great people. I said, you can have all that, you, all of that. But I looked over on the top of a bookcase, and I told my wife, I said, he can't have them. Somebody said, what's that? I want to leave some wore-out Bibles behind. He said, how important is that? You let me have your Bible for about 3 minutes, and if you've had it for 6 months, I'll tell you what kind of Christian you are. Some of you folks have got Bibles that's not altogether divinely inspired. It's got old light bills. Oh, there's a Locket Junior. Hey. There's a four-leaf clover. There's a picture of Aunt Mabel. In my library of Bibles, there's not one good news for modern man. Hallelujah. They're all the old King James Version. One of the prettiest Bibles I ever saw in my life. I was up in North Carolina preaching a revival, and the preacher come in. He had his Bible under his arm. Did you ever see the old Sears book catalog where they'd flip through them all winter long and they just kind of flowered out like that? You saw that. Now, don't you take on them town airs to me, you jaybirds. Listen, I can tell a country hick as far as I can see. Somebody said, how do you know I'm country? I could holler, ha, and every one of you look to the left. You saw them old Sears Roebuck catalog just flowered out. That preacher walked in and his Bible was like that. That's a dirty, you know, and it all flowered out and the backs is all ragged on it. And I looked at it and I said, preacher, let me see that Bible. He said, Brother Boo, don't laugh at it. I said, I ain't going to laugh at it. And I looked at it and the pages had been stuck together with scotch tape. He said, they bought me some new ones, but said, I can't lay this one down. Oh, he said, it's sweet, preacher. Could have started out with, said, oh, it's, I said, preacher, it may look ugly. I said, it's the prettiest Bible I've ever looked at. That wasn't all about it either. It had started coming apart down here, and he had laid it down somewhere on the floor, dug him an electric drill, and drilled him three holes through the edges of it, and put him three big plow bolts up there. Amen? Somebody said, well, what do you think about it? Let me ask you, when his kids come back from his funeral and see that Bible, what do you think they're going to think? But when they come back from your funeral and pick up that Bible that still got that gold stuff around the edge that they gave you for Christmas about 10 years ago, you know what they're going to know about you? That you were a spiritual runt. That you were a spiritual moron. Somebody said, don't call me moron. Moron, moron, moron. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to leave some worn-out Bibles behind. If they can say, Daddy, love that book. What light is that shining so brightly for me that gives me such courage the right way to see? What hope for my trusting soul ever shall be. God's wonderful book divine that gives me such courage, the right way to see. What hope for my trusting soul ever shall be. God's wonderful book divine. I love the old Bible. A light on my pathway to shine. It keeps me so happy. God's wonderful book divine. Amen. I love the Bible, and I want to be identified with it. Glory. Some of you said, well, I read from it occasionally. Yeah, you pick it up and say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, where she opens, there I go. Amen. You have no spiritual concept of the Word of God. Some of you are still controlled, and you get down on your knees, you poor, blinded moron. I know it's not a big point to major on, but you'll say, Lord, we thank you for the Sabbath. Why, you poor nut, you. I'm not living under the law. I'm under the grace of Almighty God. I'm kept by the power of God, and I'm not worshiping on the Sabbath. And it's still 11 o'clock. You better shout now because you've about had it. Hallelujah. And that's not all. I want to leave a faithful attendance record behind. Not one of them off and oners, in and outers, can and can'ters, doing, don't, will and wonters. I want to be a faithful attender to the house of God. Hallelujah. That bunch today that'll say, well, I hear that the professionals are going to be down yonder in concert. I think we'll go down there. You're a sorry specimen of a Christian. What I'm trying to say is you're crippled too high for crutches. You're far too far gone for a polis to help you any, honey. Your brain's on vacation. That bunch that will desert the house of God and run off the homecomings and decorations and singing, I guarantee you, a friend of mine, they'll never get the work of God done. I like that too. I want them to know, old Brother Blue, sit right there. I'd hate for my preacher to get up to preach my funeral and say, well, I wasn't too real acquainted with him. He never did come much. And, well, I never did know it. I want him to say, we're going to miss old Brother Blue. He said right there. Huh? Some of you said, well, I don't get much out of church, and I don't care too much for the local church. Shut up! Don't you open your tater trap to me, boy. I love the church. I love it. I'm going to stand by it. The Bible said Christ loved it and gave himself for it. Well, you said, old so-and-so don't think it's too important. They don't believe in storehouse tide. I can't help it if they're wrong. And they're wrong. You getting that head down again? Give me a songbook or something up here.
Yeah. Amen.
You let me catch her down again. You look at me. Some of these poor preachers have to preach with their eyes closed. I don't have to do that. I can look right at you. It may be wise to tell you. It may be wise to tell you that I'm a half-breed. But I'm a full-blooded child of God. But I still may go on a scalping party around here today. Of course, I see somebody's done beat me to some of you. I told them last night down for church, folks will stand around and say, I'm an American. They'll cuss the country and lay everything just blame and talk about. I love my country. Even with all its faults and even with all the corruption, it's the greatest country in the world. And don't you start telling me about your coming across on the Mayflower. Because my kin folks is here waiting on you when you got here. Bless God, if we hadn't showed you how to plant corn, you're so dumb you'd have starved to death. That first winter, you'd have never made it. Why, you pale skins wouldn't have made it. Amen. Then I want to leave a good tithing record behind. You don't believe I'll do it, do you? Some of you say, well, I send mine down to so-and-so. And I send mine to Leon. And I send mine to evangelist woman. You listen, I'm a full-time evangelist. I travel across the country every week preaching somewhere. I want you to get this down real close in your little book. I'm for the local church. I'm for it. I'm going to stand for it. Well, you said, I believe I'll send you my tithe. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Somebody said, how in the name of God are you going to make it? The same way that man, when God said, leave that brook down there, there's a widow woman up there with a little tad of meal down the back. I'll make it the same way. Oh, somebody said, that'll play out. That's just luck. I'll tell you right now, friend, ain't no such thing as luck. I saw some of you kind of turn pale then. I guess you got a rabbit's foot in your little darling pocket, ain't you? A four-leaf clover, isn't it, darling? You got a horseshoe over your door, ain't you? Hope when you walk through it falls on you. Somebody said, how do you make it? Old Reno Davis sitting back there. How, Reno? Lord of God, I was up in a Bible conference with him here a while back, and the pastor went for a ride with me in my car. Before we got home, he said, preacher, is this thing safe? I said, yeah, why? He said, it sounds like them pistons is trying to swap holes. He said, take it easy, preacher. This thing's going to fall to pieces. We can be a disaster. We got back to church, and you know, he got up that night and said, old Brother Blue's car is about gone. So we got to do something about it. And he bought me a brand new... Are you listening, devil? They bought me a brand new $8,000 98 luxury sedan Oldsmobile. Yower! The shoes I got on my feet, somebody give to me. The tie I've got on, somebody give. The suit I got on, somebody. The socks I got on. The glasses on my face. And my God, counsel, bless all your needs according to his riches in glory. Don't you turn into a God driver to change it. Mm, for you too. And that's not all I want to leave behind. I want to leave a happy devil behind. Some of you preachers are getting ahead of me now. I want to leave a happy devil. I want them little demons, when I die, I want them to go running back into hell going, I want old Daddy Devil to run out and said, what in the world's the matter with you? One of them said, haven't you heard? Daddy Devil said, no, what in the world is it? One of them so excited he jumped up and said, the devil said, Dad Blue's dead. Ed Matthew's dead. I want the devil to reach down and rub his shins and said, boy, you'll never kick me no more. Some of you, the devil don't even know you're around. Some of you, my friend, the devil yawns and said, whew. So what? But every time I go in the pulpit, I want the devil to tell one of the little demons, said, I'll have an Alka-Seltzer, please. When I go in the pulpit, I want him to shudder. Hallelujah. I want to leave a happy devil. I want him to look up at the top of the list, that number one, where it said the most hated preacher in the world. I want him to mark it off and say, change worlds. Still 11 o'clock. One preacher come to me after service here a while back, and he said, I'll tell you one thing. Before you leave, I want to know where you got that watch. I want one. Then there are some things I don't want to leave behind. This is the second message. I don't want to leave a question in anybody's mind where I'm going. I don't want you to go around and say, I wonder where old Ed Blue went. Daddy was sick and dying, and I was on my way to revival. And I said, I'm going to go down and see him a while before I go. He wouldn't let me stay home with him because he said, Dad, you got to keep on going, boy. I went down by to see him, and I went in the room, and you may think it's a little mushy, but we held hands. And I'd kiss him on his hand every once in a while. I just kept telling Daddy, I love you. I love you, Daddy. I remember you two when we drove them old semi-trucks together. We'd be going up through them old mountains in Kentucky. And Daddy might be sleeping back in the sleeper. Them old smokestacks are boiling. And Daddy would reach out and tap me on the shoulder and said, Ed, when we get to the top of the mountain, let's pray, boy. Sometimes now when the devil gets after me, all hell's around me, I can feel him tap me on the shoulder and said, boy, when we get to the top of the mountain, let's pray. I don't want any question anybody's mind where I'm going to. I was down there that day holding his hand. We talked, and the devil's saying, you just got to stay with him. Dad must have recognized that, and he kind of roused up and said, boy, you can't stay. And I said, Daddy, I'd like to stay with you. And he said, no, boy, you got to go on and tell him about Jesus. He squeezed my hand all the strength he had, and he said, boy, if I'm not here when you get back, he said, I'll meet you in the morning by the bright riverside, and we'll sit down by the river. Amen. I don't want you to have to guess where I'm going. Hallelujah, there's a land that's fairer than day. And I'm on my way. Then bless your dear heart. Next, I don't want to leave behind any slander I've said about anybody. If I have some way slanderously attacked you, I'll bow at your feet. And I'll ask you to forgive me. I mean that, brother. You believe I mean that? I'll bow at your feet. I'll get down and kiss your feet and ask you to forgive me. I don't want any slander. Amen? When I leave here, I want me and old brother Sammy to be able to take my hand and said, I'll meet you on the other side. Hallelujah. When last, I don't want to leave behind one soul that I could have won to Jesus. I work with the Indians in Oklahoma a lot. A lot of evangelists tell me, said, oh, I wouldn't fool with them little old churches you fool with. Hey, fellas, do me a favor. And don't let it get out them fellas what kind of time I'm having. They just sure want to get in on it. I worked with the Indians in Oklahoma. Drove across the mountains in Oklahoma. There was an old ragged tent. But I saw 30 of them little old redskins walk down and bow in the sawdust and get right with God. We sailed out across the islands here a while back. Looked down at that country. Now them old knobby pine trees was coming up. Oh, hallelujah. I got paid for it one night when a little black girl come walking up to me with that British accent, with tears streaming down her cheek, and said, sir, I desire to be saved. I said, hallelujah, you can. Amen.